Hello, hey there, and welcome back to the Special Ed Strategist. I am your host, Wendy Taylor, and today we are tackling a topic that I know tends to cause a lot of confusion, one that parents, teachers, and even some administrators often struggle to explain clearly. We're talking about accommodations versus modifications, and what is the difference, and why does it even matter? It does. So if you've ever sat at an IEP table or even a 504 meeting, you may have heard the words accommodations. You may have heard the words modifications, and you may have sat there and nodded and think to yourself, wait, which one does my kiddo actually need and what am I supposed to advocate for? That's what we're going to dive into today. Before we start though, I would love to ask you a huge request to like, follow, download, and share this episode if you feel like it would be a help to anyone in your circle. So back to accommodations and modifications, you're not alone. It is a big deal because the decision to give your child accommodations or modifications can directly impact the educational path, how they access learning, and even their future opportunities. So today we're going to unpack this together. We're going to talk about what is an accommodation, what is a modification, in plain English, no jargon, I hope. We're going to talk about how these apply to IEPs because yes, there is a difference. And we're going to talk about what questions you should be asking in meetings to make sure that your kiddo gets the right support that they need to be successful on their own educational journey. So let's dive in. We're going to start with the basics. So there's two words that sound familiar, and they both refer to supports that your kiddo is going to get in the school during the school day in their classroom. So to help students succeed, but they serve a very different purpose. Okay, so accommodations change how a student learns without altering learning expectations. So accommodations are going to help level that playing field for your child, for your student, but it is not going to alter or change the learning expectations that are taking place. Modifications change what a student learns by adjusting the curriculum expectations. So let's break that down a little bit more. So if you have a kiddo with dyslexia, they're struggling with reading, an accommodation might be by providing a text-to-speech software, an audiobook, a version of a textbook that is being looked at or learned from in the classroom, and that way they can still access the same grade level content as their peers, just in a way that works for them. A modification would be giving them a simpler reading passage than their classmates, reducing the amount of reading required altogether. The difference, though, is one is supporting access to grade level material, while the other is changing the expectations. When we change the expectations, that can impact our plans for graduation and post-secondary. So the same idea applies for math, writing, science, any subject. And here's where it gets really interesting. When we start talking about IEPs and 504. So how do accommodations and modifications align with an IEP and a 504 plan? We're going to zoom out here for a second and talk about where accommodations and modifications show up in your kiddo's plan. So if your kiddo has a 504, that plan is going to provide accommodations to ensure a student with disability has equal access to learning. It's about removing those barriers, but it doesn't change what's being taught. So for example, a student with ADHD who has trouble focusing might get that extra time on tests, seating away from distractions, but they're still expected to complete that same curriculum as their peers. With an IEP, that's going to include both accommodations and modifications, depending on that student's needs. So a student with a learning disability in reading may get that accommodation like oral testing instead of written or teacher's notes provided ahead of time. But if their learning disability significantly impacts comprehension, the team may modify their assignments like using a lower reading level. If that is the case, I would still have the discussion and the conversation at the team of, will this impact my child for graduation if they are on the plan to receive a high school diploma? That way you are understanding what is taking place. The team is understanding, it is in writing so that there's no surprises when it comes towards high school. And if you're thinking one thing and something else is happening. So make sure you're all on the same plan. And the big takeaway again is that a 504 plan is accommodations only. IEPs are accommodations and, if needed, modifications. Also, they include IEP goals as well. So it's a huge distinction because some parents think a 504 can include modifications. It does not. If a child needs modifications to the curriculum, a conversation should be had about an IEP and what that process would look like. If you're unsure what an IEP process looks like, check out my course, Cracking the Code. That's going to help walk you through the four phases of eligibility so that you can better advocate for your kiddo. All right. So again, kind of thinking about the future. So if a student receives too many modifications, it can have long-term consequences. So they may be removed from that diploma track that I just mentioned. They might not meet college entrance requirements and struggle with independent learning later on. So don't get me wrong, some students absolutely truly need modifications. I just want to make sure that you as a parent or professional understand the difference and are asking the right questions at the meetings to make sure that we're getting our kiddos the support that they need and everybody understands what our end goal is. But for many kids, the problem isn't that they need a lower curriculum, it's that they need those right accommodations to access that grade level material. So if your kiddo's IEP includes modifications, I want you to ask these questions. Are the modifications truly necessary? Could accommodations provide enough support? Will the modifications affect my kiddo's ability to earn that high school diploma? And how will we review progress to determine if my kiddo can return to grade level expectations? So some of this has already been asked. Some of you may not have asked these questions, but I think it's important. Again, knowledge is power so that you understand how to better advocate and support for your kiddo. So these questions put you in the driver's seat, because when you're going to understand those differences, then you're going to be able to advocate the best path forward through your parent input statement, through the conversations that you have and how to support your kiddo. So now that we've cleared up those accommodations versus modifications, let's talk about how to advocate for your kiddo in an IEP or 504 meeting. Here are some three things that I want you to do before your next meeting. I want you to review your current plan. Look at their IEP, look at their 504. Are the accommodations listed? Are there modifications? If so, do you know why they're there? And has progress monitoring data been reviewed to justify these supports? So just making sure that everybody, again, is aligned, we're making movements forward, and we're not staying stale in the support that we're giving our kiddo. I want you to ask the question, are we using accommodations first before we're modifying the curriculum? How do the modifications affect their diploma eligibility? We've talked about that. And then what does progress monitoring show? Are the current supports working? So your goal isn't to argue. It's always to find those solutions. And if the school suggests modifications, always ask for data, raw data sheets. How do we know this? Are we making the right decisions? If accommodations aren't helping, let's brainstorm some other options with the team. Come with some creative ideas on your own as a parent to the meeting so that it can go a little smoother. You can hammer out some ideas and make a plan that's going to work to support the student. Remember always, as a parent, you are that an equal member of your IEP team, so your voice absolutely matters. And so here we go. A little bit of recap, right? So accommodations, same content, different access. Modifications, change content or expectations. A 504 plan is accommodations only. IEPs do have both accommodations and modifications if needed. And as a parent, you should always ask about those long-term impacts of the modifications so that you are clearly understanding your learning trajectory for your kiddo. Here's my challenge for you. So at your next IEP or 504 meeting, I want you to ask, how do these supports help my child stay on track for long-term success? That way it opens the door to a conversation, and again, to make sure that we are aligning the plan, the program for a student in the manner that best suits their learning style, their learning needs, so that they can access their education in a way that supports them truly. So if this episode helped, I want you to share it with another parent or an educator. That gives us some street cred. It helps spread the word and let people know where we are so we can continue delving out this conversations and inputs as we do on a weekly basis. And if you're looking for more advocacy support, head on over to learningessentialsedu.com for resources, strategies, and guidance. Thanks for joining me today. keep advocating, keep strategizing, and keep believing in your kiddo's potential. Bye for now.